Our scripture reading this morning is found in the Gospel according to Matthew. On what is called Palm Sunday, Jesus entered into Jerusalem. We read of that in Matthew 21. We'll read the first 16 verses. Our text is found in verse 5, Matthew 21. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased, and said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. That far we read in God's holy, inspired word. May God bless that word to our hearts. The text that we consider this morning is the fifth verse. Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, When Jesus rode into Jerusalem, the Sunday before his crucifixion, he rode with purpose. He rode into Jerusalem knowing that he was the king. He knew that he was the king of the Jews. That is, he was the king of those who are true Jews. He is the king of those who are the praisers of God. He rode into Jerusalem as the king. And he rode into Jerusalem in order to claim, as it were, his kingship. He who was born King of the Jews. And even when he began his ministry, he began that ministry with the knowledge of his kingship. When he began his ministry, he preached with that kingship in mind. He said to the people, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And that kingdom, of course, was the kingdom of which he was the king. So he knew that he was the rightful king of all those who are true Jews. And riding into Jerusalem, in a sense, was a declaration of his kingship. Riding up into the city of the great king, into Jerusalem, but riding upon a little donkey that showed the particular nature of his kingship. It was not a kingship like the kings of the earth. And then responded to by the people in different ways, some praising and some despising. The important question for us is today, how will we respond and how do we respond to him who is the King of the Jews? Let's consider the passage under that theme, Jesus royal, that is kingly, Jesus royal entry into Jerusalem. Let's note in the first place the declaration of his kingship. In the second place, the nature of his kingship. And lastly, the response to his kingship. Jesus rode into Jerusalem on that first day of the Passion Week, knowing himself to be the king. He knew that he was the true king of those who are true Jews, of those who are God's people. He rode into Jerusalem as the son of David. Jesus knew that he was the son of David. He knew that he was the son of Mary, the physical son of Mary, that made him a physical descendant of King David, and he knew that he was the legal son of Joseph, not the physical son, but the legal son of Joseph, who also was a descendant of David, that made Jesus, being both the physical and the legal descendant of David, that made him the rightful heir to the throne. And he rode into Jerusalem with that knowledge of himself. 1,000 years earlier, God had spoken to David that a son, David's son, would sit on his throne and would be king over an everlasting kingdom. And that prophecy was referring to Jesus Christ. And Jesus knew it. He knew himself to be the son of David. He knew himself to be the rightful heir to the throne of David. And he was riding into Jerusalem to claim his kingship, to take up, as it were, his throne, and to establish his kingdom. And what we have to know about Jesus riding into Jerusalem is that it was part of a deliberate plan. Jesus himself set his face towards Jerusalem, knowing exactly to what it would lead. He knew that going up into Jerusalem would lead to his death. Earlier in his ministry, Jesus was not able to minister in Jerusalem because of the threats upon his life. So he had to spend much of his ministry up in Galilee. Not that he was afraid to die, but he could not minister in Jerusalem because it was not yet his time to die. But now his time had come. And so he chose to go into Jerusalem, not as in previous times when he went secretly so that he was not detected by the masses, but this time he went openly. As openly as you can imagine. Openly before the masses, but openly also in front of the leaders of the Jews. Even though he knew that those leaders sought to kill him, they had set about already to kill him prior to this. They wanted to destroy him. And now Jesus goes up openly into Jerusalem. You can imagine how hard that would have been from a human perspective. He was upheld by his divine nature, yes, but from a human perspective, going openly into Jerusalem, knowing that this would set in motion all the events that would lead to his death, knowing that he was getting closer and closer to the cross. The shadow of the cross would have been getting darker and darker as he traveled towards Jerusalem. Each step that he took was bringing him that much closer to the death of the cross. And yet he went into Jerusalem. And that riding into Jerusalem was, as it were, a domino that would lead to a series of events, all of those events, yes, leading to his death, but then also leading to him becoming and taking up his kingship as King of the Jews. We know that Jesus did this deliberately. We know that he understood exactly what he was doing from the rest of Scripture. One example is Matthew 16, verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. He understood that he was going to Jerusalem as the king, and he understood where it would lead. He understood the suffering that he would experience. And so every step that Jesus took was expressing his love to his people, his love to you and his love to me. As he rode up into Jerusalem, every step was bringing him closer to the claiming of his kingship. Jesus' entry into Jerusalem that day was in order to claim that kingship. It was the way in which he must travel in order for him to become the king, that is, to take up that kingship, which he was already the king. And so we see that in the events. He was declaring his kingship in the fulfillment of prophecy. It had been told in Scripture, in the Old Testament, that the king would come into Jerusalem riding upon a donkey. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He arranged to ride upon a donkey. He arranged for his disciples to go and gather this baby donkey and its mother, and knew all the circumstances that the disciples would meet along the way as the king. He understood exactly what they would see, and they saw that. And when the disciples were questioned, they said, "The Lord hath need of him," referring to the king. Jesus arranged for that donkey to be brought to him exactly as the Scriptures prophesied. Zechariah 9, verse 9 says this, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Jesus arranged to fulfill that prophecy because he knew himself to be the King of the Jews. Already in Genesis, we have another prophecy of the king riding upon a donkey. Genesis 49, verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass's colt unto the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. That's how the king would come into Jerusalem. The king from the tribe of Judah would not come riding upon a great white horse, but he would come riding on a baby donkey. He would come in meekness and humility, in fulfillment of Scripture. Matthew recognized that. Jesus, of course, understood it. Matthew recognized that when he wrote this account of the gospel. In verse 4 of chapter 21, he says, "All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet." And then he quotes from the prophet Zechariah that we read. Jesus understood it. And the people that were with him also understood something of that kingship. As Jesus rode along the road to Jerusalem, they called out, "Blessed is he that cometh." They called out, understanding that he was the king, the son of David. And as he rode his little donkey, they gave him as much honor as they could. They took off their long robes, and they carefully laid those robes along the road to make, as it were, a royal carpet for the king. And others cut down branches and put those on the road to give honor to Jesus as he rode up into Jerusalem. It wasn't just a few people, although there were some people that followed him from Bethany, but others from Jerusalem came as well and met them. It was a very great multitude, the crowd growing greater and greater, giving honor to the king. And we have to see in that not just some random coming together of events, but God providentially ordained all of those people to be gathered to give that honor to the king on that day. Crying out, "Hosanna to the Son of David," acknowledging him to be the promised Messiah, the Son of David, And Jesus didn't rebuke them, but he allowed the people to call him the Son of David because he understood that's exactly who he was, the Son of David, the King of the Jews, and the Savior of his people. But there was something very odd about Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. It was odd because it was not the way of an earthly king. Jesus did not enter a city to take up his kingship as an earthly king would do. You would expect, if he was a great earthly king, you would expect him not to ride on a donkey, you would expect him to ride on a great white horse. You would expect that there would have been all kinds of preparations before he rode into the city. Months of preparation. You would expect that the high dignitaries, the important people would come out to meet him. It would all be pre-arranged. You would expect a great army behind him and lining the way. But that's not how Jesus came. He didn't come with pomp and ceremony as an earthly king, but he came in humility. It wasn't prearranged, and that makes all the people lining the way all the more amazing how God in his providence arranged it. It wasn't the dignitaries, the important rulers of the people that lined the way, but it was the common people, the lowly people of Jerusalem and from Bethany that accompanied Jesus. Spontaneously. And then on that baby donkey, I picture Jesus sitting on this donkey that was barely able to hold up a man. The baby donkey with its mother. And a donkey that Jesus didn't even own. It was not his own donkey. He didn't possess a donkey of his own to ride up into Jerusalem. He had to borrow a donkey. And that shows that Jesus rode up into Jerusalem humbly. He rode up in meekness, not as an earthly king. Thy king, the prophecy says, thy king cometh unto thee meek and sitting upon an ass. Not two separate things, meek on the one hand and then something totally unrelated, sitting upon the ass. But his meekness was shown by him sitting upon that baby donkey. And that shows, beloved, that his kingdom is not like earthly kingdoms. And his kingship is not like earthly kingships. He could have come with all that glory that earthly kings would demand for themselves. Jesus came in meekness. He came with humility and gentleness. He came with a care for his people. That meekness implies not a serving of himself, not a seeking glory for himself, but a desire to serve his people. A lowliness in which he desired and sought after the good of his people, the church. He came with such a gentle spirit. He wouldn't separate that baby donkey from its mother, but rode with them together. He wasn't thinking about himself. And that's the idea bound up with that meekness. He was thinking of his people, those whom he would purchase to be his people. And he wanted, in that way, riding up to Jerusalem, he wanted salvation for us, for you and for me. He came voluntarily, taking upon himself not the form of a great king, but the form of a servant who would give himself, would give his life for you and for me. The whole nature of Jesus' kingship is opposite to the rulers of the world. The rulers of the world set themselves up, unbelieving rulers set themselves up to serve themselves. Jesus says about himself just the opposite. When his disciples, just prior to this occasion, had argued amongst themselves, who is going to be the greatest in the kingdom of Jesus? Jesus rebuked them. Matthew chapter 20, verse 25, a significant portion of Scripture that shows the nature of Christ's kingdom is so different than the kingdoms of this earth. He says, in Matthew 20, verse 25, Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. In order to serve themselves, that's the idea. That's the way it is among the nations. But then he goes on, but it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. That is to say, a minister, someone who serves. Let him be your servant, we could translate that. Let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. What a contrast. The kings of the Gentiles serve themselves. They gather kingdoms around them that will enrich themselves. Jesus, the king of his people, would give himself to serve his people and to bring you and me to salvation, and to bring all of his people to salvation, to give to us the greatest good. Jesus came to serve and to give his life a ransom that would bring us out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. He went up into Jerusalem, knowing that he was the king, knowing that he was representing his people, knowing that he would pay that ransom for all the citizens of his kingdom. That shows that his kingdom is completely different and otherworldly. His kingdom is not about eating and drinking. His kingdom is not as the kingdoms of this world, kingdoms that are all about pleasures and treasures. Think about the kingdom of Antichrist. It will be a glorious kingdom that will offer all kinds of those treasures and pleasures. But that's not the kingdom of Christ. If that were the case, if it was an earthly kingdom, Jesus says to Pilate during his trial, if my kingdom was of this world, then would my servants fight. They would take up a sword. But he said, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. That's the idea. And therefore demands a spiritual worship. How did the people respond when Jesus made that entry into Jerusalem as the king? Well, verse 9 tells us they called out, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. I don't say this about everyone that was in those crowds, but there must have been those among the people calling those things out that were sincere, that were truly God's children, even though they didn't understand everything about the kingdom. They understood that Jesus was the promised Messiah, the Son of David. They believed. They called out, Hosanna to the Son of David, because God had revealed it to them that he was indeed the Son of David, the promised Messiah. And by God's grace, today, you and I believe that Jesus is the promised King of God's people. We believe that. Not only did the people call out and recognize him as the Son of David, the one who was worthy of the throne of David, they also saw him as their Savior. Hosanna. Literally in the Hebrew, that means save now. Save us. Hosanna to the Son of David is saying, thou who art the King, save us. We need a Savior, and thou art that Savior that we need. They recognized their need of a Savior, and they recognized that He was that Savior. Now again, they didn't understand all the nature of that kingdom, but they understood some of it. Those who were God's people, the disciples themselves, didn't understand all of that until after Jesus' resurrection, but they were truly God's people by God's grace. You and I believe that this Jesus who went up into Jerusalem is God and man. He is the King who represented us, and He is our Savior. They expected to see their salvation to come from Him who was blessed. Blessed is He that cometh in the name of the Lord. They saw that God Himself had blessed Jesus. God Himself had given to Him that position. God Himself had ordained this Jesus to be the King, and that Jesus was coming in the name of God, because Jesus was God and man. By God's grace, we see that Jesus was given that blessed position as King of God's people, our King. Striking that when Jesus went into Jerusalem, those who were so closely associated with that gospel message, the message of redemption in the King, striking that there would be those who would reject that message, who came so close to the gospel, who saw, as it were, the gospel in the flesh, and they still rejected it. The Pharisees, when they heard the children calling out in the temple, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to the Son of David, the Pharisees despised those words. Luke 19, verse 39, some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto Him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. They rejected the gospel. They wanted nothing to do with Jesus the King. Even though they saw His miracles, miracles that they could not deny, they would not have Him. Because He did not fit with their idea of a kingship. They wanted an earthly kingdom. They wanted a kingdom that would fill their bellies with bread. They wanted a kingdom that would give them earthly treasures and pleasures. And Jesus was not going to give them that kind of kingdom. They refused to believe. They wanted essentially what is the kingdom of Antichrist. When Jesus was on trial, they even rejected his kingship specifically. They said, "We have no king but Caesar." But the question is, how do we respond to King Jesus? When we see the Jesus that went up into Jerusalem to give himself a ransom for his people, how do we respond to the King? Do we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Do we, in all of our lives, in light of what the King has done for us, seek to give ourselves to serve that King in thankfulness? How do we respond? Zechariah 9, verse 9 gives this as a proper response to the King. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion." Rejoice greatly that this is your King. Rejoice greatly that he has loved you with an everlasting love. Rejoice greatly that he rode up into Jerusalem knowing what it would cost him. Rejoice greatly that he gave himself a perfect sacrifice for all of our sins. Rejoice greatly that when we come to him, we come to the one who knew we were sinners when he died for us, and who, as the King, will certainly declare our forgiveness according to the blood that he himself shed for us. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Do we want such a king? Who would want any other kind of king? Understanding what a glorious king we have in Jesus Christ. May we rejoice as the people rejoiced on that day. May we rejoice in our King. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we give thee thanks for King Jesus. Who rode up into Jerusalem, humbling himself in order that he might be exalted as King over all. and especially as king over us and all his people. Grant, O Lord, that we may ever submit ourselves to the King, to the glory of his name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.